Amen. Praise God for that. As you can see from the reading of the Bible, David's brother misjudged the heart of his little brother David. When David obeyed his dad and brought snacks to his three brothers who were in the Israeli army, he heard the giant of the Philistines challenge any man in that army of Israel to fight him. He said that if any man could kill him, then the Philistines would surrender to Israel, the whole army, and be their servants. But if he, Goliath, killed that Israelite man, then Israel would accept that they were defeated and be the servants of the Philistines. David's big brother, Eliab, King Saul, and all the army of Israel were very afraid to go up against a killer giant. This guy stood there, one of the Anakims, surviving in Gath. He stood there 10 feet tall. Just his spearhead was nearly 20 pounds. He had a coat of mail on him over about 125 pounds. The man was a beast. The man was a killer. He was a giant. David was just a teenage boy. He was a musician, played the harp, had played for Saul for a time. Now back a shepherd boy, taking care of sheep. David believed in God at a young age, though. The God of the Bible. He was saved. He loved the Lord. God was his vision. And David had come to do what his dad asked, to bring supplies for his brothers who were in the army. But when he came to bring the food, he heard the booming voice of the giant Goliath challenging the people of God, the army of God. He heard about what the king would give as a reward to go up against Goliath, if somebody could kill him. Saul promised a tax-free life to the family of the man that would kill Goliath. He promised him riches untold. And he promised, probably best of all, the hand of his lovely daughter to be the wife of the young man. David, a teenage boy, was moved by these things, and he asked that the rewards be repeated to him. By the way, we should be motivated by the rewards of the Lord Jesus. But he had even a higher motivation, and it came out when he responded to Goliath's challenge. He saw that God was made a public disgrace by the people of God being afraid to go up against this giant. And it was a reproach. And he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" That was David's main motivation. His heart was for God's reputation rather than his own comfort and ease. His brother Eliab accused him of a lower motive. He accused David of not doing his job of being a shepherd, even though he'd done what his dad wanted him to do. He accused him of being prideful and naughty in his heart. David responded in this way, and this is the subject of the sermon this morning. David said to Eliab, "Is there not a cause?" You see, David's big brother was worried about his reputation. He was worried about being showed up by his little brother. But David worried about God's reputation, and he worried about God being showed up by a false god of the Philistines. David's big brother was worried about his own safety and comforts, but David was worried about God's people being enslaved by the enemy Philistines. See, David had a cause that caused him to rise above petty jealousies of the accomplishments of others. David has a cause that caused him to forget about his own ease and comforts. David had a cause that caused him to come out of himself and forget himself in order to promote God's glory and the good of God's people. The main point for my sermon to you today on this Palm Sunday is David had such a cause, do you? And I might add to that, David's greater son, the Lord Jesus, who descended from David, he had a greater cause that caused him to go into Jerusalem and face the giant of death. Do you have that cause? Is there not a cause? You know, the theme of our church is building lives on solid foundations. It could be the foundation of the Word of God. We believe the Bible is the Word of God, and I believe it's the King James Bible, just for your information. And we believe that the other foundation is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, other foundation can no man that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, buried, risen again to justify us. Is there not a cause of building lives on solid foundations by building the Sunday school? You know, our church has Sunday school, and we believe we can build lives on solid foundations by building Sunday school classes. And we have some fun nights. We had a movie night with a challenging movie about what's going on in the world and how the world is trying to take over our kids in the public school and groom them for fornication and groom them for the mark of the beast, groom them to take away their freedoms. And so we had a movie night, and there was a movie about that, and it was a great time that we had with the ambassadors class. And, you know, to have that, you need to have free food. And I give kudos to Brother Zukowski, who cooked pizza, and Mrs. Zukowski, who helped put that together for me with the popcorn and all the stuff that went into it and the soda. And we had 21 people, and thank God for people like the Zukowskis, like David. They've got a cause that makes them come out of themselves and forget about themselves so that they can build lives for Christ and build them on a solid foundation. And I wonder today, do you have a cause? Do you have a cause that makes you leave comfort and ease? Do you have a cause that makes you forget about yourself and come out of yourself so that you can help others to build lives in these perilous times on a solid foundation? And I was going up that night, and we went up to Carbondale, and I picked up John, and John is here today, and he came from New York City, and Miss Patty and Brother Steve Gary had gone out, I believe it was on a Thursday night, and invited John to come to church, and he came to church. And then I went out on a Thursday night with Brother Matthew, and we got to see John and gave him the gospel, and he prayed to receive Christ. And then that Thursday, he asked if he could come to Sunday school. And I said, yeah, I'll pick you up. And so I picked him up Friday and brought him up there, picked another lady up, and we came to the Sunday school outing and then dropped them back off. And I thought about that. You know, John was in New York City, a gangbanger. He was being harassed and frisked all the time. And he came out here to Pennsylvania. But thank God, with people in our church like Steve and Patty that had a cause, that were handing out flyers, that were inviting him out and going up to Carbondale with their own gas on a Thursday night. And what caused these people to come out? What caused these people to come to Christ? What caused these people to get saved? It's people with a cause. David had a cause. Our Savior had a cause. These individuals that I'm talking about in our church have a cause burning in their heart. And is there not a cause? Is there not a cause that'll make you come out of yourself and forget your comfort and forget your selfishness and forget your pride and jealousy and get out of yourself? And is there not a cause? Not only that, but I think of the illustration of the cause of Joshua's army. Joshua's army had a cause, and it was not just to kill one giant. It was to kill a whole land full of giants. All those giants in there that were like Goliath, but the army of God was asked to march under Joshua, who is a picture of our of our Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly Joshua. Are you in the Lord's army? Are you ready to march on the gates of hell? Are you ready to conquer for Christ? You say, well, Pastor, I'm too old. Tell it to Caleb. He was 85. And he said, now, therefore, give me that mountain. Tell it to me. I'm 72. I want to march. I want to go forward. Is there not a cause today? And there is a cause. It's the cause of Christ. And they had the cause of Joshua to march on the giants and go in. And yet there were people in that army, the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And they had already been given land on the east side of the Jordan River. And yet they were being asked to go over the Jordan and go into the West Bank and drive the giants out in Jericho and take the city and go forward and fight for about 5 years until all these giants are defeated and the land is divided up to all of Israel. And then Joshua said, when you do that, Reubenites and Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh, then you can go back to the east side and enjoy your cattle and enjoy your farmland and enjoy your possessions and your families. And so he told them that. And they, guess what? They said, we'll do it. And guess what? They did it. And they beat the giants and they took the land. And why did they win? Because they had a cause. Hey, Israel had a God. He was Jehovah. He was greater than Dagon, the god of the Philistines. His Ark of the Covenant caused Dagon to fall before him. He was greater and stronger. But yet the Israelites were afraid of one giant and were stymied and didn't go out and didn't get the victory. Why? Because the Israelites did not have a cause. Something within you that causes you to forget yourself and your comfort and your ease and your selfishness that we all tend to have and come out of yourself and defeat the enemies of God that are around us and roll away the reproach that happened with many churches. Many churches don't have a cause, and so they're not doing much for God. They're not seeing lives changed, and it's because they do not have the cause. And I thank God for saints in God's army that are here this morning. And you know what? Some of these saints don't have the backing of their spouses. Their spouses are not saved, perhaps. They do not want them to go to church. They want them to stay with them. They want to hold them back. And yet, these same people in the armory of God here, they go to church Sunday morning. They go Sunday evening. They go Wednesday, even when their spouse is not for them. They go when their family is even, many times, not for them and for what they're doing. And yet, they still go. And they even show up when God's army goes out for bus ministry or when God's army goes out on Thursday night to knock on doors and to give people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do they do that? Because, beloved, they've not forgotten their cause. They've not forgotten the cause of Christ. And even though the devil tries to throw cold water on the fire that's burning in their heart, they can't deny what Jesus did for them. And they can't deny the cause of Christ. They are debtors like the Apostle Paul. If we don't go, woe is unto us. Woe is unto us when we stand before the Lord. Amen. The Lord with holes in his hands and a hole in his side and holes in his feet. He marched on the gates of hell, my friends. For us, we are a blood-bought army. And I say to you this morning, is there not a cause? And I think of a guy that got a guilt trip put on him by a family member trying to pull him away from the cause of Christ as David's big brother did. But this guy responded and said, I love you, but I love Jesus more. I'm going to serve the Lord. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause in the cause of the bus ministry? I think of the second bus route that we have right now. And that route was just revived. It was actually the first bus route. The second bus route, that Brother Matthew is currently the captain of the bus, it was really the first bus route. That bus is named Bus A for a reason. Bus B is Brother Eric's bus route. And everybody thinks that that is the first bus, but it's not the first bus. That is the first bus, and that is appropriately named First Bus A. What's your bus name?
Bus B.
Bus B. Amen. Just wanted to verify that. Before Brother Matthew had it, Brother Kyle had it. And before Brother Kyle had it, Bob Bajeski had it. And before Bob Bajeski had it, Pastor Randy Bloom started it. It's Route A. It's the first bus route. And, Bobby Hiller graduated from our Christian school. How many know Bobby Hiller? He's now Pastor Bobby Hiller out in Connecticut. He went to Bible college down in Florida, and he is an ordained pastor, and he got saved through the outreach of the Word of God, and he got to come to our church and our school, and all of that through the outreach of A. And who was going out then? People like Patty Jordan, Gary, when she was single. Patty Jordan, Gary, and Pastor Randy Bloom, and others. We went out and went to the Hiller family there and reached them. And I think of Jesse Kresge, Deacon Jesse Kresge, and Pastor Eric Zukowski, our youth pastor. He came out of, Brother Eric came out of what route?
Bus B.
Bus B, amen and amen. And so did Jesse, right? He came out of that, and that's when Greg Sobotnick was the bus captain. And when Greg no longer did that bus B, then Brother Eric became the bus B captain. And you say, why did that route keep going? People may not be in it that were in it, but why does it keep going? Because people around here have a cause. They have a cause that makes them come out of themselves and forget themselves and to serve God. And maybe they try to put it away. Maybe they try to retire. But God says, no, refire. Get back into that cause. And they have that cause. And after Bobby Bajeski had the bus route A, Kyle became the bus captain, and he got it up to about 32 people in that bus. And I remember that he used to pick up Kalen Gibbs, way up there in Forest City. We went all the way up there in that A route, and that's Alicia's sister. Isn't it interesting that Brother Eric, in Bus B captain, got his wife from Bus A? Alicia came out of Bus A because her mother, Angel, came on Bus A. When Bobby was bus captain, she got saved and came forward on a Sunday, got baptized. She taught in our Christian school. She taught kids to read. And Alicia came out of that. And I was mad at Alicia when she came to our Christian school. She distracted the boys, I said. That's not good. You're bothering them. And her mother said, just give her a chance. You'll learn my daughter has some good qualities that you can appreciate. Just give her a chance, Pastor. God's got a sense of humor. Amen. But she came out of the A route, and Kalen was in that route when she was in Forest City and coming, and now Kalen is going to be married in this church. She's going to Bible college in a Baptist college in Kentucky, along with her fiancé, Colton, who's going to be a preacher, and who is a preacher for God, and they're getting married here in this church. Because why? Somebody had a cause. The cause of Christ in the bus ministry. And I say to you this morning, to you, is there not a cause? And I ask you this morning the question, do you have a cause? Do you have a cause? I think about Eric's sister, Abigail. Abigail came out of the
bus B.
Bus B. And Abigail plays the harp. Amen. She just bought a harp for almost $3,000. She loves the harp, and she plays the harp. And she plays it in a big church down in Florida that is a great work of God, Landmark Baptist Church, Haines City, Florida, just outside of Disney World. And she plays the harp. She's been the secretary for Mickey Carter for a time, and then now she's teaching in the Christian school. She's teaching kindergarten in the Christian school there and serves the Lord and lives for the Lord and is in full-time ministry. She got saved through the bus route coming here and then being led to the Lord, went to our Christian school, graduated from our Christian school, and then went to Bible college. You say, why was Abigail's life changed? Why was Bobby Hiller's life changed? Why was Jesse Kresge's life changed? Why was Pastor Eric's life changed? Why were all these people and others, why were their lives changed? Because there were people in this church that had the cause of Christ. And it made them come out of themselves. And you say, oh, that doesn't sound like an exciting life. I'd rather live my life and just live to myself. Let me tell you, you don't know how much joy there is in serving Jesus. How much fun there is. Matt jokes and he says, Pastor kind of trained him to be a bus captain. And what were you saying the other day? 6 hours on a Saturday? And he jokes about it. He says, Pastor goes out, we go out 6 hours. That's more, way more than on Thursday night. But I tell you what, it's hard. I'm tired when I get in. I came in and my wife just gave me something to drink. I was so thirsty. I was like, give me something to drink. And we're out there, and Brother Kyle was with us, and amen. But I'm just saying, is there not a cause? And you know what? Matt got into the bus ministry. I never told him he was going to be a bus captain. I never told him that I was praying for him to be a bus captain. I was hoping he'd be a bus captain. I just said, help us out for a week. And then, would you help us another week? And would you help us another week? And pretty soon, he woke up and he's a bus captain. But you know what? I see him stepping up to the plate because the cause has made him step up to the cause. The cause will lift you up. The cause that makes you get out of yourself will lift you up as you help other people. And so Matt's cause has helped to, I've seen it stir up Brother Steve Gary. I've seen it stir up Patty. And it gets me to another thing. Your cause, when you have it, can be contagious. Your cause, when you have it, can be contagious. David's cause got Goliath defeated and killed, but what happened to the whole Israeli army? They charged the Philistines, and they started killing them. They got revived. They got stirred up. That's what we need in the church. We need some people just to do it, just to show it can be done. Like A.L. Williams used to say, Brother Bobby, what did he say? Just do it, and do it, and do it. And do it. And people will say, what's going on around here? Somebody's getting a cause. Somebody's on fire with the cause of Christ. And that's what's making a difference. And that's what's making Revival Baptist Church win. Why? Because that cause of David became contagious. And by the way, there was a friend of David by the name of Jonathan. And when Jonathan saw David's cause, he got a cause. And it stirred him up. And, you know, even sometimes old men can get stirred up. Amen. Brother Harold, did you ride the bus today?
Yes.
Amen. Brother Harold, he got on Matt's bus today. Praise God. Amen. And they were pushing 30 today. They were just under 30 on that bus. Amen and amen. I'm just saying to you, is there not a cause? And I think of Charlie Ware, our first pastor. The thing I noticed about Charlie Ware when I was in Bible college that made him different than so many other Bible college students, most Bible college students were like the army of Israel under Saul. They were just afraid to do anything. And they weren't always afraid. They were just caught up in their own selfish lives. And they were sitting around talking about their selfish life. They weren't champions for Christ. Charlie Ware, I saw him. I said, that guy, I was like Jonathan. He was like David. I said, that guy's my friend. Look at him. He's going out, and I hung around him, and his cause was contagious. I got witnessing because of his cause and serving the Lord. And that's why I'm pastor. You're bus captain. I'm pastor because of the cause of Charlie Ware. It rubbed off on me. And I'm saying that the cause, if you've got the cause of Christ, it can be contagious. And you say, well, what happened to you? I had my Jonathan. She was a young lady down in West Palm Beach, Florida. And I went to a church banquet down there for young people. And I gave my testimony. And that girl, her heart went out to me like Jonathan went to David. And she said, that's my David. I'm going to love that guy. And that's what happened. What was it? It was the cause of Christ that answered to her heart. She had the similar heart I had. And it brought us together. I am saying when churches pull apart, it's because of pride and petty jealousy. People want some kind of position. Listen, when you've got the cause of Christ, you want God's position. You want God to get the glory. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And you'd be willing like Christ. Christ was willing to give his blood, my friend, to the cause of the Father, because the Father wanted to save people, and he was willing to give his life to get people saved. I'm saying, is there not a cause? And you know what? We could not run bus A, which is now the second bus, but it's really the first bus. We could not run bus A without people designating above their usual 10% or their tithe offerings, and an offering, getting an envelope and writing on it, bus, second bus, second bus. Because, you see, we needed that extra money to run the second bus, especially with what's going on with gas and everything. And you know what? People in the church are giving. Why? Because the cause is contagious. And you have a part in that with your offerings for the bus ministry. And thank God for that. And thank God for Kyle, who was the captain of bus A. And by Matt getting revived and stirred up, Kyle's getting revived. And Kyle was with us all day yesterday. And he was witnessing, amen, and sharing the gospel and going out and meeting people. And he could see the promised land, you know. He could see what God is doing. And not only see, but get involved in it. And what a blessing that is. Thank God. And thank God for those of you that rode the buses today. Praise the Lord. And have a part in this. So I say to you this morning, is there not a cause? The cause of Christ. To get people saved on their way to hell. I like what John said the other night when I was taking him back from Sunday school. And John said to me, he said, hell is real, isn't it? I said, yes, it's real, John. There's real fire there. You can't get a drink of water in hell. It is real. And when you go to hell, it's forever. And that is a reason enough to go out there and march on the gates of hell and tell people how to get saved, because there is a cause. And you don't know who's going to get saved, right? God knows, but you don't know. God knows, you don't know. So you're preaching gospel to every creature. And you and I are to get out there. And there is a cause. And we know when people get saved, they're not going to hell. Praise God. They're going to heaven. And that's real too, John. Heaven is real. Amen? And Jesus is real. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, who died on that cross to save the world, guess what? You're saved. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you could put your name there. In that whosoever. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's die and go to hell, but have everlasting life. You can put your name in that whosoever, but you must put your faith in Jesus Christ and be saved by Jesus Christ. And then you can have the cause of Christ in your local church. I like Brother Dennis Sorace. He may be watching today up in Carbondale. He had an obligation to the state. He got saved last year, but he has to wear that bracelet for 6 months. And he had an obligation to the state. But when he went before the judge and he went before the police and all of that, they said, how did you get free from drugs and alcohol? How'd you get free from that? He said, well, I'll tell you this, Jesus set me free. And he said, I'll tell you this, he said, my support group was not AA. They didn't get me. They didn't help me. He said it was Scranton Revival Baptist Church, Pastor Randy Bloom. And I said, praise God. I've said it over and over again. Now, here's somebody that's a living testament to what I've preached. Let the local New Testament church be your spiritual support group. Get saved by Jesus for real, and then you will have the church be your support group, and that cause will be fed. And boy, I tell you, the devil doesn't want it. My last two soul winning partners, he's pushed them away from me by these things, but I'm not going to let that discourage me. Amen and amen. We're going to keep going. You say, what's going to keep you going? I've got the cause of Christ burning in my heart. You need to have the cause of Christ. And if you're dead inside, your spirit is dead. There are some of you here today. Now listen to me very carefully. You're here today, and the Lord is knocking at the door of your heart. He's knocking at the door of your heart. And you know you're not saved. You know if you died right now, your spirit is dead toward God, like that piece of wood there. But the Lord is knocking at your heart, and he's got a hole in his hand, and Jesus is saying, I love this world. You can be saved by me if you will open the door of your heart and ask me to come in and wash away your sins. He says, if you open the door, I will come in. That's what Jesus said. I will come in. You open the door of your heart. See, the door handle is on the inside. He's not going to force the door down. Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to force the door down. You have to open the door of your heart and invite him to come in and be your personal Savior. And it's our prayer that if you have not done that, that you would do it today. And then you say, well, what do I do if I ask Jesus in my heart? That means you're born again. And that means you're supposed to come forward when I give the invitation and say, Pastor, I've accepted Jesus. I want to get baptized. And we have everything set up for that. And you can show your faith in Jesus by getting baptized. And that's the first thing he wants you to do after you get saved. And the next thing is to join in the local church and be part of God's support group. And that's what he wants you to do. But let me just finish by saying this. Jesus is saying to you, the cause of Christ is contagious. You need to have a cause that will make you build the Sunday school class, that'll make you build the bus route, that will make you build lives on solid foundations. Is there not a cause? Let's bow for